And again, our topic today is singleness, a blessing or a curse. And as we enter into this season of February, you know what that means, right? Who knows what that means? It means chocolate. It means chocolate. Valentine's Day is coming, and that means chocolate for all you guys now. All you guys out there who have that special girl in your life that hopefully won't forget, it's time to give you some chocolate. And I'm sorry, girls, I'm sorry, but here in Japan, of course, you have to wait until what? White Day. You have to wait a whole nother month before you get your chocolate and before you get your flowers. Hint, guys. Before you get your balloons and your dinner at the fancy restaurant. And of course, don't forget the movie. You gotta throw in the movie, right? So, right now, of course, the girls are thinking, oh, Rabu Rabu. I'm so romantic. That's what the girls are thinking. But what are the guys thinking? Oh, how expensive. These things add up, don't they? And so, what does Valentine's Day and White Day and all these holidays, what do they mean to those who do not have anyone special in their life right now? Well, for some it means when you're single, your pockets jingle. You got some money. And you can go and do whatever you want and spend it on whatever you want and don't have to worry about too much during these days. But for others, it means shabon, shabon, I'm all alone. Too bad, so sad. Now, I joke about it, but it's really no joke. Because it's very sad and very true. Many people become very sad when they think of their singleness. And they can begin to feel, of course, very lonely. And that loneliness can lead to, very easily, to depression. And that depression can very often lead to drug addiction. I know people that are on antidepressants because they're lonely. And that, of course, can lead to all sorts of other things. Alcoholism, hikikomori, suicide, all these things because of loneliness. Because they're single. But is being single really that bad? The media seems to suggest it is when you watch the movies. And, oh, it's so beautiful, right? Why can't that happen to me? When I was single, I hated those romantic movies. The merchants, of course, they want you to think it's bad because they want you to buy their merchandise, of course, especially during the holidays. And of course, our parents, who want grandchildren someday. They really seem to think so, don't they? When are you going to get married? When are you going to have grandkids? And they keep putting the pressure. You know, in fact, the world in general seems to suggest that being single is a very sad, unfortunate, and even shameful. It's a shameful thing for those to be single once you're past a certain age, whatever that age may be. Well, that is what the world may suggest. But hopefully you are here today because you can care less what this world suggests. We're here today to hear what God thinks. What the Bible, God's Word, has to say about being single. As Jesus said, sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. Now, as we look into the word, as we begin, I would like to take just a quick moment to remind those of us who are married. Oh no, singles, I don't need to hear this. Yes, you do. And I advise you to pay attention, because we all know people who are single out there. And those singles often come to us who are married for what? For advice. Right? And we want to be able to give them godly counsel. And that's one of the reasons why I do this study, is because there's not godly counsel going on. And it's important. So, married people, pay attention, please. Well, with that, let's begin. Genesis 2:18. And the Lord God said, "It is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helper comparable to him." Now, generally speaking, we know this is true, that God doesn't want any one of us to be alone, that is, without fellowship, human fellowship, and companionship. Okay, we know this, and there are many Bible references to attest to this. Of course, God, He doesn't want any of us to be alone, and to know that we are not alone, that He's actually with us. Of course, Hebrews 13 verse 5 tells us, "For He Himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you." And He's also given us this free will, whether we want to believe that or not, that God is with us. Are we going to choose to have this relationship with God or not? To know that we're not alone, that God really truly is with us. It's our free will. It's our choice to believe this or not. And we also know that God wants us to be in fellowship with one another. Of course, Hebrews 10:24 says, "And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works." Verse 25, "Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as in the manner of some," as is the manner of some, "but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching." So, once again, it's our choice. A man who has friends must himself first be friendly. But here in Genesis 2:18, the question isn't whether it is good to be alone or not. For of course the scripture confirms that it isn't God's heart for any of us to be alone. The question before us is it good or bad to be single? Is it a blessing or a curse, as some feel it may? Some would automatically equate singleness to loneliness, and therefore making it a bad thing. But that is not true. For there is a big difference between being single and being alone. In fact, there are many married couples today that feel very alone. And for all intents and purposes, they, for one reason or another, are living a single life, even though they are married. We all know this to be true. Do you believe being single is bad? That it's a bad thing? Like most of the world is suggesting it is? Well, let me tell you something. There are far, far worse things than being single. As I said before, being married to the wrong person is far worse than being single. So with that in mind, at first glance, what did God say about singleness? Is it a bad thing? Is it a good thing? What did God say? Well, at first glance at this scripture, it seems pretty clear. It is not good that man should be alone. And if God said it, well, of course, then it must be true, right? But is this exactly what God is saying here? Well, a closer look at the original text may give us a clear insight, and that's what I want to do. Notice with me, the word used here for man, hito, the original text in the Hebrew, the word is actually Adam. Okay? So the scripture, more accurately translated, would read, it is not good that Adam should be alone. This is important. Specifically in regard to having a helper comparable to him. Speaking of Eve, of course, Adam's future fiancé. He hasn't met yet. So, as you can see, this verse is by no means implying that it is not good for mankind to be single. You know what was the biggest, one of the biggest problems that I had when I was a single person? Aside from my flesh, of course. One of the biggest problems I had being single, or believe it or not, married people. Married people were the worst. They were the worst. They didn't help me at all. They were always asking me, Joseph, when are you going to get married, bro? When are you going to get married? And they kept asking when I was going to marry. And they would quote Genesis. They would say, well, you know, Joseph, the Bible says it's not good that man should be alone. And they would quote the scripture to me. And they would go on to say, oh, Joseph, I'm praying for your wife, your future wife. I want you to know I'm praying for her. I'm like, why are you praying for her? Pray for me. I'm the single guy. I don't even know she exists. I'm like, gee, thank you. Arigato gozaimasu. I really appreciate that. Ay, ay, ay. You know, it really made me feel really special, and I'm just very glad, and it made me feel really, really nice to know that my current state of singleness was obviously not a good thing in their opinion. Right? Because otherwise, they wouldn't be telling me these things. I used to feel like Job when he said to his three friends, I have heard many such things. Miserable comforters are you all. As if they were God proclaiming, it is not good for Joseph to be alone. Well, it obviously is, it wasn't. In God's providence, He saw that it wasn't a good thing for me to be alone. And, of course, 3 years ago, He brought me my wife, Amy. But let me tell you something. Up to 3 years ago, it was a good thing for me to be alone. Obviously, otherwise He would have brought me Amy sooner. Okay? It was a good thing then. And at that time, I knew that worrying about my singleness, getting depressed over my singleness, was not a good thing. No, it wasn't. Neither was it a God thing. God didn't want me depressed and on drugs and all these things because of my singleness. And if you think that's what God wants for you, you're wrong. For singleness, believe it or not, is not a curse from God. But in contrast to popular opinion, it is actually described in the Bible as a gift. Notice with me, James 1:17. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. Now, Paul the Apostle, a single man, when he wrote this next verse, he speaks of these gifts. For example, one of them being singleness. Notice what he says in 1 Corinthians 7:7. For I wish that all men were even as myself, but each one has his own what? Gift from God. One in this manner and another in that. And he goes on, verse 8. But I say to the unmarried and to the widows, It is, notice here, good for them if they remain even as I am. And of course, Paul was referring to his singleness here. And like Paul, God actually gives people this gift of singleness. And it is, according to Paul, a good thing. You see? Now, you may be thinking right now, if you're a single person, that it may have been a good thing for Paul, but it's not a good thing for me. I don't want that gift, right? Well, I hate to break the news to you, and I'm not looking at anybody right now. I hate to break the news to you, but if you are single here today, whether you like it or not, the reality is you've got it. You've been given this gift. Now, you have the choice to accept it as a gift, as a blessing, or you can reject it the way most people have been, as a curse. I don't want this. But that will be our choice. And this is exactly what Jesus spoke about. Choice. In Matthew 19:12, "For there are eunuchs," he said, "who were born thus from their mother's womb, and there are eunuchs who were made eunuchs by men. And there are eunuchs for the kingdom of heaven's sake. He who is able to accept it, let him accept it." Now, what's a eunuch? In this context, it is one who voluntarily abstains from marriage for the sake of advancing God's kingdom through undivided service. But once again, it is a gift that must be accepted in order to truly be received. Jesus said, "He who is able to accept it, let him accept it." So the question is, are you willing to accept this? Now, why am I talking about all this? Why? Because my heart breaks for the single person. That's why. Whether they have never married, whether they're divorced, whether they have been widowed, my heart breaks. But it doesn't break out of pity because they're single. Not because they are single. It's not out of pity. It's not why my heart breaks because they are single or in this state, but rather because I know that God has this amazing gift for them that most refuse to receive. That's why my heart breaks. And you're saying, "Well, wait a minute, Joseph. Of course, this all, you know, sounds easy for you to say. You're married." Very true. And if you've ever heard me teach, I'm very happily married, because I always talk about Amy in one way or another. I'm very happily married. But listen, I wasn't always married, you know. When I was 26 years old, I became a Christian. And at that time, I broke up with my girlfriend who wasn't a believer, and I didn't have another girlfriend until I got together with Amy 3 years ago. Okay? Do the math. That is 13 years. I know what it's like to be a single Christian man, getting older, losing my hair, thinking that there's no hope in sight. I understand. Okay? No girlfriend. Not even, "Oh, let's have Starbucks together." No, not even that. "Oh, let's go to movies." No, not even that. Nothing. I guarded my heart during that time. And I waited for God's perfect will even if it meant singleness. Many people at my home church, they thought I must have had the gift of celibacy. I mean, well, you can look it up. Because they thought I had the gift of celibacy because I didn't date any girls. So they kind of wondered, wow, he must have the gift. And there were others who thought I might have been gay. Because I didn't date any girls. And they kind of wondered about me. Well, I didn't have the gift of celibacy, and I was not gay. I always just thought that I was going to be a bachelor until the rapture. Just a single person until God came and took me home. And I really thought that's the way my life was going to be. But honestly, I need to tell you this. Honestly, aside from these last 3 years with Amy, those were the best years of my life. They were the best. And why? Because I chose to receive the gift God had given me. I received it. And I received my singleness as a gift, not a curse, so that I'd be able to be God, to be with God and to give Him my whole heart, undivided and solely devoted to Him and to Him alone. I was able to surrender everything to Him. And that's what Paul said here in 1 Corinthians 7:32. But I want you to be without care. He who is unmarried cares for the things of the Lord, how he may please the Lord. And verse 33 gives the contrast. But he who is married cares about the things of the world, how he may please his wife. You see? That a heart gets divided. And I, at that time, was able to be his hands. I was able to be his feet. I was able to do whatever he wanted me to do and be whatever he wanted me to be. To go where he wanted me to go and to do what he wanted me to do. It was an amazing time of my life. Now, when I see singles this all depressed, it saddens me because they're missing out. But I need to talk about this. Was it easy? No way. It wasn't easy. I'm not going to lie to you. Like I said, I did not have the gift of celibacy. In fact, I really did struggle in this area. Okay? And like Paul, I cried out more than 3 times for God to take away the thorns of my flesh and my desires that I had. Notice here, 2 Corinthians 12:8, Paul says, concerning this thing, this thorn in his flesh, I pleaded with the Lord 3 times that it might depart from me. Verse 9, and he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Verse 10, notice, therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distress for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Do you want to be strong? Well, then recognize your weakness. As Paul said, for when I am weak, then I am strong. When you recognize your weakness and rely on God's strength, you can overcome anything, even singleness. Now, the opposite is also true though. We need to be careful. For when I am strong, well, that's when I'm at my weakest. When I think I can't be tempted. That's why I guarded my heart and I didn't go have Starbucks and go to the movies and I was a very legalistic kind of guy, people thought. No, I was a realistic guy. I knew my weaknesses, you see. And I guarded my heart from my weaknesses. When I think I couldn't be tempted, well, when I thought I couldn't handle, when I could handle the temptations on my own strength, that is when I was at my weakest. And when you're at your weakest, of course, that's when you're going to fall. When you trust in yourself. Well, we need to understand, it's okay to admit that we're weak. It's called humility. You see? 1 Peter 5:6 says this, "Therefore humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time." You see, even Jesus Himself, He cried out 3 times as well in the Garden of Gethsemane, didn't He? Before He went to the cross, He cried out in Mark 14:36, we read, and He said, "Abba, Father, all things are possible for You. Take this cup away from Me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what You will." You see, it's okay to cry out to God in your weakness. It's okay to ask Him to take away the pain of loneliness and singleness, if that's okay. You can ask these things. It's okay to ask God to send you a spouse. It's okay. Or whatever else you may be going through today, whatever your problem is, it's okay to cry out to God. Jesus as our example. But notice Jesus in the garden, He also said this, and we saw this, and in being in agony, even, in agony, He prayed more earnestly that His sweat became like great drops of blood falling down to the ground. Do you think you're stressing out? Have you sweated blood yet? Okay? Jesus knows what we're going through, folks. Jesus was about to go to the cross for our sins. It meant He was going to die. And He knew what this meant. And that is exactly what the cross symbolizes. Death. His disciples, of course. And Jesus, He knew. And He said to His disciples in Luke 9:23, He said, "Then He said to them all, 'If anyone desires to come after Me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow Me.'" Now, the question is, what is Christ asking you to die to today? Because this refers to every one of us who want to follow Jesus, right? So, what is Christ asking you to die to today? Is it your singleness? Is it a bitterness in your heart? Some sort of pain or loneliness or an illness even? Your doubts, your fears, your unbelief? Your desires? We go on and on. But only you know what you don't want to let go. Ultimately, what it comes down to is your will and my will. You see, our flesh naturally repels death. That's a natural thing, right? Our flesh, we see danger and we run. We naturally run away from death. And our flesh, therefore, naturally repels the cross, doesn't it? Because it symbolizes death. To deny ourselves means we need to deny our will. What we want. That is the cross Jesus is asking us to embrace if you want to follow Him. We need to die to ourselves, to our will. Now, notice in the garden again, He said, Abba, Father, all things are possible for you. Take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what you will. Now, we all pray this first part of the prayer, don't we? It's okay, because Jesus did, but we all pray this. Oh, Lord, take this from me. Take that from me. Oh, send me a wife. Do this, do that, do the other thing. We're always crying out to God, asking and pleading for whatever it is we desire. Really, our will. Even things that are, you know, good to pray for. Heal me, you know. Take this burden from me. Whatever it is, we're really good about asking God, aren't we? And God wants us to. He wants us to be honest with Him, and He wants us to be open-hearted with Him. We can't hide from God anyways. He knows what's already on our heart before we even say it. And who knows, He may even just grant our requests, right? So, might as well offer it up. But, are we willing to pray the second part of this prayer? Nevertheless, not what I will, but what you will. Are we willing to pray this part? This is the part that nobody likes to pray. You see, in Hebrews, understand, says this, looking unto Jesus, Hebrews 12:2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For the joy that was set before Him, He endured the cross. Now, listen, Jesus wasn't very joyful in the garden as He was sweating blood. Understand? No, and neither will you or I be when we're agonizing over dying to something that our flesh repels. Basically doing what we don't want to do. We want to do what we want to do, don't we? It's true. But you will never be able to receive that joy as Jesus did until you embrace the cross that was set before you. And once we embrace it, that cross, that thing that you just repel, you'll begin to see the joy that's set before you. But you'll never have the joy until you embrace your cross. Did I want to be a bachelor until the rapture, single my entire life? No, I didn't. Honestly, I really didn't. Okay, and I spent many nights in the garden of loneliness, agonizing. I really did. But I always finished the prayer. I always finish the prayer. Nevertheless, Lord, not my will, but your will be done. That is what it's called, embracing your cross. Denying your flesh. Oh, Lord, if it's your will, bring me a wife. I'm struggling here. I don't have the gift. But, nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. It wasn't until I embraced my cross and said, Lord, if you want me to be single my entire life for your kingdom, for your honor, and for your glory, then here I am. Send me. Here I am. Because I know God's will is so much better than mine. It's called faith. And oh, what a joy. Oh, what a joy it is to be in God's perfect will. Let me tell you. Now, you know, as much as I love Amy, and I love being in love with Amy, I love my singleness. I really did. I love being able to go, like I said, wherever and do whatever God wanted me to do. was a wonderful gift that I enjoyed to its fullest. And I'm saddened to see so many singles today simply wasting it away. Really. Because once it's gone, it's gone. It isn't easy to be single. It isn't. It's not easy. Especially if you don't want to be single. If you don't want to be single, well, then it's not going to be easy. Let me tell you, it's going to be really hard. You think it's easy to be married? Married people. Is it easy to be married, married people? No. It's not easy to be married. Especially if you don't want to be married. But if you want to be married, notice the key here. If you want to, choice, right? If you want to be married, then you will do everything you can to make it work. Because you really want it to work, don't you? It's true. Well, there is no difference than being single. It's a choice we make. Are you willing to do everything you can to make it work? What work? Your singleness. Make it work for you and for God. If you're single right now, believe me, God is not in heaven worrying and stressing over your single state. Oh no, Jesus, what are we going to do? They're alone. Oh no. God's not freaking out. Neither should we. No. You see, God is in perfect control. He's in perfect control. Now, are you willing to surrender to His perfect will for your life? Or are you determined to fight Him? Is singleness a blessing or a curse? It's our choice. How do you choose to perceive it? Now, again, as a former single man who enjoyed his singleness to its fullest, I would like to encourage you singles out there to choose to accept, as I did, the many, many blessings that singleness has to offer. Don't waste them. Enjoy them. Trust the Lord. Enjoy your gift. It really is a gift of singleness as long as God would want you to have it. Just love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your strength. Just love Him. In other words, stop worrying about what you have no control over. There's no point in worrying about what you have no control over. Let go, as the old saying is, and let God. Give it to Him. Bless God with your life. Allow Him to bless you in return. But once again, it's your choice. I hope this helps you. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this time together. Lord, it grieves my heart of all the opinions out there that suggest that singleness is so bad, because there is nowhere in the Bible that says singleness is bad for every single person. And if you don't desire for us to be single, well, then we won't. You will send us that helpmate, as you did with Adam, as you did with me. Lord, but if not, then you're not going to allow us to struggle. You don't want us to struggle. You came to give us life and life more abundantly. Lord, help us. Help us marry folks as we want to be an example to the singles. Not a hindrance. Not condemning them and like the rest of the world does because they are. No. That's not your heart. So please, God, help those who are here today who may be struggling in this area know that you love them so much. And you've given them this time for a reason and a purpose. For such a time as this, they have been called in this time of singleness. And Lord, I pray they would use it for your honor and for your glory. Please, Lord, help them see the blessings that you have in store for them. But Lord, I know they'll never see it until they first embrace the cross that their flesh repels. So please, God, help them embrace their cross. Help us all embrace whatever cross is set before us today. To trust you, Father. As we ask this in Jesus' name, amen. Arigato gozaimasu.